Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. Where, oh where, oh where is Miss Gray? We cannot find Miss Gray. Those of you who are out there, we need your help. She has been missing, and it seems like nobody really cares. Jessica Gray is missing. She's been missing since December 1st. The police department, Benton Township Police Department, the sheriff's department, police, have all refused to go looking for her. We cannot find Jessica Gray. Those of you who are out there, please, if you have any information, contact me at 269-925-0001. Jessica Gray has been missing. We're not going to say as of yet what we think happened to her because we don't really know. And I would not want to say what we think. And her mother is still around looking. She's looking to bring her home alive. We want her to be alive. And we're going to do everything in our power to find Jessica Gray, 30-year-old woman with two children, a beautiful young lady. But unfortunately, we don't know what happened to her. At the house where she was last seen, there was a pile of blood at the front door. They also found four cartridges that were shot from a gun inside the house. There was also blood on the door. So we don't want to assume that she'd been shot until we know for a fact. The Benton Township Police Department have refused to let us know. I believe what they have done is botched the case up. That's what I'm thinking. Because it don't take DNA 3 months to come back. And I think they should let the mothers know whether it's their daughter blood or their daughter DNA. I think they have an obligation to tell her that. They have not told her whether the blood that was on that door belongs to Jessica Gray. But we're not giving up. We are not quitters. We do what we have to do in order to make things happen. And we're going to find her. And we're going to bring her home. One way or the other, she's going to have closure. Miss Caroline Gray, who's on our show, is going to have closure one way or the other. We're going to do what we have to do. And those of you who are out there, please take care of your business. Let me say this also. Those who might know the Gray family, give them a call. Let them know that you're thinking about them. Because we're going to do an all-out manhunt for Jessica Gray on March. We're looking at March 13th, which is a Friday. And we want everybody to come out. We got certain areas that we're going to be in. We're going to probably have a group coming in with drones. And we're going to find Jessica Gray one way or the other. So let's give this family closure. We need your help. I will be sending out a picture of her. I just recently wrote an article about her in the newspaper. We're going to make it happen. But on that note, let's move on. Mass demonstration in Benton Harbor. Occupy the PGA. May 23rd, 10:30 a.m., City Hall. As concerned citizens of Benton Harbor, we support, with all the support we have from allies around the world, we protest the exploitation of our community of Benton Harbor by Harbor Shores KitchenAid, Whirlpool Corporation, and the PGA of America. The Harbor Shores development came about only through the undermining of the Democratic political pressure on public agencies, the theft of public land for the private profit, the destruction of rare, the theft of water from the public, and the continued destruction of the very fabric of the predominantly Black community of Benton Harbor, which is already politically disenfranchised and economically impoverished by Harbor Shores, refusing to pay tax, refusing to pay a water bill, refusing to do anything that has to do with currency in the city of Benton Harbor. We are in a crunch right now. We hereby make the following demands on the 2020 Senior PGA. We demand the cancellation of the tournament in Benton Harbor, Michigan, unless these demands are accepted. We want them to transfer 25% of the 2020 Senior PGA profits to the citizens of Benton Harbor as a partial compensation for stolen land and water for the purpose of meeting budget deficits and building affordable housing for the people of Benton Harbor. We want them to acknowledge, make an announcement at the Senior PGA event that the people of Benton Harbor have been exploited in numerous ways, including the theft of land for profit, including the theft of water. The failure to address these grievances demands publicly at the event will reflect the collusion of the Senior PGA with the ongoing hypocrisy and exploitation of Harbor Shores and Whirlpool Corporation. Benton Harbor needs jobs. We need careers here. We need a living wages. We need affordable houses, political self-determination, true democracy, justice, freedom, parkland. We need our parkland and future for our children. And if you want more information, please contact Reverend Pinckney at 269-925-0001. Occupy the PGA, May 23rd, here in the city of Benton Harbor, Michigan. And on that note, we will bring on our very, very first guest from Canada itself. Our very first guest, Galene, I'm hoping I'm pronouncing her name correctly. If I'm not, please correct me. Galene, are yes. you there?
Yes, my name is Galina. Galina, you can call me Helen. This is my Helen. English name. Yes, my last name is Kurdina. I live in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And I will be glad to talk to you about, very, very important issue, government experimentation on mind control over involuntary human subjects who have never, ever given the informed consent to be guinea in this experiment. But I would like to start our conversation, dear Reverend, with announcement that on the 28th of February this year, 2 days ago, the United Nations Special Rapporteur on Torture, Nils Melzer, reported to the United Nations Human Rights Council on psychological torture and cyber torture. This is the first time when officials really acknowledge and discuss this problem, cyber torture. We call this torture electronic harassment or mind control effects, but he chose this word, cyber torture. He didn't describe mind control attacks on targeted individuals in details, but he said, I just would like to read some excerpts from his report. In fact, states, corporate actors, and organized criminals not only have the capacity to conduct cyber operations, inflicting severe suffering on countless individuals, but may well decide to do so for any of the purposes of torture. He mentioned, in practice, cyber technology already plays the role of an enabler in the perpetration of both physical and psychological forms of torture, most notably through the collection and transmission of surveillance information and instructions to interrogators through the dissemination of audio and video recordings of torture or murder for the purposes of intimidation. And increasingly also through the remote control or manipulation of stun belts, medical implants, and conceivably nano or neural technological devices. He stated, with the advent of the internet, particularly state security services have been reported to use cyber technology, both in their own territory and abroad, for the systematic surveillance of a wide range of individuals and or for the direct interference with their unhindered access to cyber technology. He claimed individuals or groups systematically targeted by cyber surveillance and cyber harassment generally are left without any effective means of defense, escape, or self-protection, and at least in this respect often find themselves in a situation of powerlessness comparable to physical custody. Depending on the circumstances, the physical absence and anonymity of the perpetrator can even exacerbate the victim's emotions of helplessness, loss of control, and vulnerability, not unlike the stress-augmenting effect of blindfolding or hooding during physical torture. Likewise, the generalized shame inflicted by public exposure, defamation, and degradation, body and mind degradation, can be just as traumatic as direct humiliation by perpetrators in a closed environment. Okay, and just a moment. Arguably, therefore, much more systematic government-sponsored threats and harassment delivered through cyber technologies not only entail a situation of effective powerlessness, but may well inflict levels of anxiety, stress, shame, and guilt, amounting to severe mental suffering as required for a finding of torture. And he concluded, more generally, in order to ensure the adequate implementation of the prohibition of torture and related legal obligations in present and future circumstances, its interpretation should evolve in line with new challenges and capabilities arising in relation to emerging technologies, not only in cyberspace, but also in areas such as artificial intelligence, robotics, nano and neurotechnology, or pharmaceutical and biomedical sciences, including so-called human enhancement. Of course, I would like to stress that Neil Melzer is absolutely right that our legislations in America and Canada and other countries must be changed, should evolve with new challenges and new technologies. But I would like to stress that all necessary laws are in place. Tens of criminal laws are in place in America and Canada to defend our private life, to defend our health, to defend us against assault and battery with any weapons, any tools. Our basic human rights, for example, freedom of thought, freedom of consciousness, freedom of meeting, freedom of speech, all of them are defended by our constitutions. But I agree, in order to I agree that in order to simplify lives and work of justices and lawyers and laws must be more detailed and more specific. In order to just to support these words, that all this is real and have been real for decades, I would like to refer listeners to website organizationofmindcontrolvictims.com. This is website of Organization of Victims of Psychotronic Mind Control Weapons. I just run this website. That's why I put all this stuff in articles about mind control. So I would like to refer listeners to, for example, I would like to spend some time. Just a moment. Give me 1 second, please. Microchips. Okay. For example, article. This artificial intelligence literally reads your mind to recreate images of the faces you see. It was posted on digitaltrends.com in February 18. And by the way, this article reads, Google's artificial intelligence technology may sometimes seem like it's reading our mind, but neuroscientists at Canada's University of Toronto in Scarborough, by the way, I lived in Scarborough in 2018, are literally using artificial intelligence for that very purpose by reconstructing images based on brain perception using data gathered by EEG. In a test, subjects were hooked up to EEG brainwave reading equipment and shown images of faces. While this happened, their brain activity was recorded and then analyzed using machine learning algorithms, and impressively, the researchers were able to use this information to digitally recreate the face image stored in the person's mind. It happened. These experiments were carried out 2 years ago. For example, another very interesting article, scientists discover how to upload knowledge to your brain. It was published in Telegraph on the 1st of March 2016. That a little bit what it is about. Feeding knowledge directly into your brain, like in sci-fi classic The Matrix, could soon take as much effort as falling asleep, scientists believe. Researchers claim to have developed, they had already developed in 2016, a simulator which can feed information directly into a person's brain and teach them new skills in a short amount of time, comparing it to live imitating art. Next article, very interesting. No more secrets. New mind reading machine can translate your thoughts and display them as text instantly. This article was posted in Daily Mail in March 2018. A little bit about it. Scientists have developed an astonishing mind reading machine which can translate what you are thinking and instantly display it as text. They claim that it has an accuracy rate of 90% or more. and say that it works by interpreting consonants and vowels in our brains. So they read electrical activities in our neurons and recreate these activities as text with accuracy more than 90%. Next article, a little bit, but I would like to read. Frighteningly accurate mind reading. About the same from medical, that they read actually with, but by means of fMRI equipment. So they can actually decipher our thoughts by means of EEG and fMRI, both of them. About China, the point is, this article, China introduces artificial intelligence thought police to improve worker efficiency, military loyalty. This article was posted on news.com.au in May 2018, and it reads, so 2 years ago, for factory workers in China, there is no such thing as privacy, as employers have begun forcing staff members to wear devices that monitor their mental states. Factory workers, military personnel, train drivers, if you are employed in China, read this article, your thoughts are not your own. Headwear with built-in sensors is being distributed through China's state-owned companies to monitor the brain waves of their workers, so they perfectly read thoughts and emotional states of Chinese government workers. And millions of them are forced to wear these helmets or whatever, these gadgets, on their heads during their working hours. So you understand. So what else? Okay, breaching the bioelectronic divide, new effort aims to fully implantable devices able to connect with up to 1 million neurons. This is an article from official DARPA website that was posted in 2016 about the same, that a new DARPA program aims to develop an implantable neural interface able to provide unprecedented signal resolution and data transfer bandwidth between the human brain and the digital world. But it was a little bit old article. I would like to proceed and read more recent articles. Okay. New technology uses lasers to transmit audible messages to specific people. What it means, targeted individuals are people actually who are used as guinea pigs in criminal mind and body control experimentation without their informed consent. And most of us get a lot of voices in their heads, not because we are psychotic or schizophrenic, no, because criminals use these technologies, and they may use different technologies in order to induce voices in heads of targeted individuals. For example, they can use microwaves. This article reads that they may use lasers to transmit audible messages to specific people. So lasers can perfectly do these things. Okay, next. Researchers translate brain signals directly into speech. This article describes, it was posted in January 2019, so 1 year ago. This article describes an experimentation of Columbia neuroengineers that created a system that translates thought into intelligible, recognizable speech. By monitoring someone's brain activity, the technology can reconstruct the words a person hears with unprecedented clarity. This breakthrough, which harnesses the power of speech synthesizers and artificial intelligence could lead to new ways for computers to communicate directly with the brain. What they did, they just let human beings, people, to listen to words, to many words. Computer artificial intelligence didn't hear these words. It interpreted, interpreted brain activities of this, and they reconstructed, artificial intelligence and computers, they reconstructed these words with actually 100% accuracy. So next, a little bit. Okay, about Mark Zuckerberg. This article was posted in October last year, 2019, that he bought a company, CTRL Labs company, that had already developed gadgets to read neuron activities. They can read, for example, activities of motor neurons. So these gadgets are actually, this equipment is actually freely sold and bought nowadays.
Mm. So and, Helen, before you go on, let me say this. So what you're saying, they actually have these weapons as of today to use? Are you telling us that they actually have weapons right now that can turn your thoughts into words?
Yes, they can, of course. Yes, one more time, I can repeat. That this experimentation one more time. This article is called Researchers Translate Brain Signals Directly into Speech. It was posted on neuroscience.news.com on the 29th of January 2019. Yes, it was a public experimentation when Colombian neuroengineers let people listen to many words. Artificial intelligence and computers, they didn't hear these words. They just read neural activity of people's brains, activities of their neurons, and they recreated in intelligible speech. Computers and artificial intelligence, they recreated all these words with 100% accuracy. Yes, it is real.
Wow, that is amazing, Helen. I cannot, the average person who didn't know would not even believe that something like that exists.
I know
it can happen because I know what the government would do. They would do anything. And everybody is expendable to them. But what you just read is an article. Oh, it's amazing. People have to know to find that article and need to read it so they know what's going on.
Yes.
But listen to this, Helen. You only got about two minutes left. Can you, in 2 minutes, can you tell us or sum up what you tried to say? Then I got to get you back on so we can hear your story. More than anything else, but I have to move on.
Okay.
I got two other guests coming on.
Okay. Dear Reverend, maybe about my story, maybe next time. I just want to finish because I have too little time.
Go right ahead.
Yes. I refer our dear listeners to DARPA official website, darpa.mil. Article, 6 Paths to the Non-Surgical Future of Brain-Machine Interfaces, reads that DARPA has awarded funding to 6 organizations to support the next generation non-surgical neurotechnology program, and blah, 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 Battelle, and blah, blah, blah. These multidisciplinary teams have to develop high resolution bidirectional brain machine interfaces for use by service members. What does it mean? These wearable interfaces could ultimately enable diverse national security applications to control active defense systems and blah, blah, blah. Just what one of these teams, the Battelle team, what it has to do. The Battelle team under principal investigator Dr. Gaurav Sharma aims to develop a minutely invasive interface system that pairs an external transceiver with electromagnetic nanotransducers that are non-surgically delivered to neurons of interest. These nanotransducers would convert electrical signals from the neurons into magnetic signals that can be read and recorded and processed by external transceiver and vice versa. This external transceiver will enable bidirectional communication. It will be able to write to specific neurons to stimulate. It means fully control mind and bodies of people, fully. It was, this program was announced in March 2018. It is a four-year program. And by the way, I want to say to our dear listeners that, for example, Rice University and Brown University, Rice researchers, were given $18 million grant to develop this mind reading and mind controlling equipment, gadget. Brown University was given $19 million of dollars to engineer next generation brain-computer interface, bidirectional. You know, these numbers speak for themselves, because this extremely expensive, sophisticated, and complex technologies that cost tens and hundreds of billions of dollars and took more several decades in order to create them, to develop, to debug, to train personnel. They cannot cost $19 or $18 million of dollars. It means only one thing, that these teams in universities, they wash dirty military technologies that were given to them, passed to them from DARPA. And they just try to duplicate develop these technologies, but mostly they will try to develop a technology of mass production of this equipment. But all theory behind of this equipment, all actually experiments on human beings, including involuntary human beings, for decades, they were done by military and just transferred to these teams. I'm absolutely sure, because time, 4 years to create this incredibly sophisticated technology, bidirectional brain-machine interface, and money, they tell for themselves. They prove that DARPA and American government just washes this dirty military mind control technology.
Amazing, yes. Kellen. Amazing. Yes. I tell you, that's a lot of information. And I'm hoping that people sucked it in, because, see, a lot of people didn't know that some of these college campuses, they also are receiving money to do this stuff to people too, because they know exactly what to do. They're getting $20 and $30 million. To project it. But look, let me say this to you before I have to let you go. I heard some of your story, and I'm really, really interested in your story, and I want people to hear your story, but I can't. Let's not do it next Sunday, because next Sunday I got a full house. But the following Sunday, I want you to come on and tell your story, and tell your story so people can hear your story. Would you do that for me?
Yes, absolutely. Of course, with pleasure. Yes, yes.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Listen, you got 90 seconds to say whatever you want. Just say it, and then I got to move on to my good friend from Slidell, Louisiana. I got to bring her in after this. And
okay.
And then I got to bring in my good friend from Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Okay.
No, that's Detroit, Michigan. Go right ahead.
Okay, okay. Thank you for your help. Please spread the word.
And we will do that and make sure everybody knows, because I want people to hear your story. I want them to hear about you. I want that. I want it to be spread all around so people can understand that, you know, people are not making this stuff up. This stuff is real, you know.
Yes.
And I'm willing, you know, I'm willing to testify before the Senate that this stuff is real, and we need to do something about it. Thank you so much, Ellen, for being on, and I really appreciate you. And let's talk soon. All right.
Okay, thank you, Bill.
That was my good friend. She's from Canada, and she really, really has an amazing story to tell. We didn't get a chance to hear today because she had some information that I wanted her to deliver to you, stuff that, you know, that you can understand that we are not making this stuff up. Because I tell you, what I see and what I know is going on is enough to make you angry and upset. And hope and pray it don't happen to you. Because if it can happen to Helen, it can happen to you. On that note, I want to bring in my good friend from Slidell, Louisiana. And the one and only, there's not two of her, there's only one. And I tell you, she's such an amazing person that, you know, I'm not even willing to share her with other people because that's how amazing she is. But I got to let you know, Belinda Parker Brown, the one and only, are you on the line? Talk to me, Belinda Parker Brown.
Hey, Pastor Pinckney. Wow, this is a very, very interesting show. And you are absolutely right. It's hard for me to share you with people too as well. I'm gonna tell you, if it wouldn't be for you, you know, I've been trained by the best, and you are absolutely right. I was enjoying the show, listening to one of the targeted individuals, Ellen out of Canada. And believe it or not, Pastor Pinckney, that this thing is widespread. I have a young lady on today by the name of Brandy, and she's out of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love for you to give her an opportunity to have her come on the show. I heard you tell Helen it's not this week, the week coming up, but the week after. You know, maybe have Brandy on the show too as well to tell her story about how serious the target individuals. I know that we're thinking about coming up with a new name for them, but people
mm-hmm.
need to know that this is real and it's happening to very intelligent people, highly educated people, people that are, you know, on to the fact about what is going on, but really don't have a clue of how serious and detrimental this type of, I can't even describe it, Pastor Pinckney. It is real. Some of the stories that I have heard about the extreme that the government would go to, take people through and ruin their lives and stuff like that, you know, it's real. So I really would love for you to have Brandy on. And I was trying to see if I can come up with her last four numbers. And if you can just give her about a minute and let her introduce herself, I would appreciate that, Pastor Pinckney. Her last four numbers is 0202.
0202. Yes, she's there. I tell you what, I could bring her on right now, because after that I got to bring on my good friend Lee from Detroit, because he got some really, really, really good information that he want to share. Brandy,
right.
Is that her name?
I want to hear from Lee, because we've been doing some investigation and watching what's happening there in Detroit very closely. So go ahead, bring her on. Let her say hello.
Yes. Brandy, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello, how are you?
I'm great. What about yourself?
I'm doing okay. I could be better, but as far as things go, today is a good day, so that's okay.
Well, believe me, I understand
I'm not sure. This is kind of impromptu for me. I'm not sure what Belinda wanted me to tell you. My story is a long story. To make it short, things have gotten so bad that I have a request for prosecution pending before the International Criminal Court. And I think it's a viable request. I think that they could actually press charges if they could, you know, if they could get the political capital to do it. They certainly have jurisdiction to do it.
Mm.
Wow.
That's amazing. So let's do this. Do you think you might be able to get it done in 20 minutes? And I can bring you on next week. If you can get it done in about 20, 25 minutes, I have enough time for you.
I could probably put together a 20-minute summary. Yes, I probably could do that. I think I could.
Okay. If you can get this done, you know, within that time, I got you next week.
Okay.
I'll get you in, and I want you to come. I want people to understand stuff is real. A lot of times people be thinking that people is making this stuff up, but we've been doing this for years, and I wanted them to know.
No,
that
people aren't making it up.
There's a million people out there.
People are being targeted one by one, and by the time you realize it's real, the people who could have helped you are completely, you know, destroyed already, and they can't help you. So whatever's happening, I mean, I have theories about what's behind it, but it really needs an international investigation. You know, people
Absolutely.
Are saying United States government, but it's more than United States government. The United States government has been infiltrated by other forces. So you
Absolutely.
Can't just blame the United States.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely. Well, listen, I'll definitely put it down for next week, and I'll make sure that whatever I need to do to order to get you that time you need, I will make sure I arrange that. I do have a couple.
Thank
of
you
guests.
So much, and I will work on a summary over the week and try to boil
okay,
it down
do
for
that.
You.
That way we can fit it right into what we're doing, and we don't have to cut anybody out, which is the most important thing. I don't like doing that, but I think any time that one of my friends that comes on that's especially if she got someone who might be a target individual, because I want to make sure that all my listeners understand that this stuff is real. And then here's the key word. Everybody, including myself, is expendable. They don't care nothing about me. They don't care nothing about you. They don't care nothing about your children. They don't care nothing about nothing. Only thing they care about, what they can get and what they can do. And here's another thing that's really going on here in this country. Body parts. They're killing people to use their body parts. And oh, no, they wouldn't do anything like that. Oh, yes, they would. They would do that because that's one of the most you can become a billionaire of killing people and getting their body parts. You become a billionaire because that's what these hospitals are doing today. They're out here getting hearts, kidneys. You name it, they trying to do all this stuff, and people don't get it. Because when do you find you go to the hospital with a cold at the age of 20 and you die from a cold? I'm not talking about the new virus they got out here now that they're putting out here. I'm talking about you die. You die from a cold today. You die from pneumonia today. How do you die from pneumonia? Because that thing supposed to be cured 20 years ago. It don't work that way. They use their body parts and they're using it, and it's a multi-billion dollar operation. But on that note, I just want people to know about these things because it's happening, and they don't want you to know it's happening. And then people get offended when you tell them that the hospitals are using body parts. They are doing exactly that. Trust me, they are. And remember this, black folks is expendable. They're really expendable, and they like their parts. They like black people body parts, you know. But we have to stand up and fight that. I will say this,
from what I've been watching, I don't think it's a race issue.
No.
It's really not. I have seen black people be targeted by other black people. I mean, it's hard to believe it, but when you once you see it, it becomes more real. You know, if I just tell you the stories, it'd be hard to believe. But I have seen black people be targeted by other black people.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that for a fact. And that's it. But look, I'm looking forward to you next week. You come on and give it to me. And look, you don't have to sugarcoat it. These folks are my listeners are well trained in reference to target individuals. Well trained.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right now. And we will talk very soon. My good friend Belinda Parker Brown, talk to me. Tell me what you want me to know. You got a couple of minutes because I got to bring my good friend Leon.
First of all, I would like to say thank you very much, Pastor Pinckney. Thank you for giving her that opportunity. I think that was a very crucial and mostly, more so than any, important that she come on the show as soon as possible and tell her story. Because, I'm going to tell you, Pastor Pinckney, she's going to blow us away. I read the document that she's talking about. And I think that this is something that we would definitely rally behind and support her by all means necessary to be able to take this thing to another whole level. And I think that your listeners are, and I know you have over 100 some thousand listeners, but I know that they're going to be very pleased with her story and her information that she's going to share on next week. So I'm hoping that she can write the narrative down to like 20 minutes and really deal with some of the crucial things that she have put in this document, Pastor Pinckney. It's going to be very good. It's going to be very good for the show and the listeners.
You know what? I'm excited already. But listen, I got to move on. I got to go bring in Lee since next week we're going to have her on. And I know her number and everything. I got you. Belinda Parker Brown, thank you so much. And I will talk to you very, very, very soon. All right now.
Thank you, Pastor.
All right. Now, the one and only from Detroit, Michigan. Nobody will believe this. If you didn't know, you wouldn't believe it. Detroit, Michigan, my man Lee. My man.
Hey, how you
Lee
doing, Reverend?
I'm doing great.
Yes,
how
I am.
Doing?
Yes, I am. I'm
wow.
I'm doing fine. You know, still fighting these demons.
Yeah. But I know there was a discovery during the week. And I know, some of my listeners probably, when you was talking, probably did not believe. Well, I can't say that because nobody told me they didn't believe you. But the point was that something happened during the week that I want you to talk about and tell us a story. First, tell us about start about all the dead bodies. Let's do that. And then I want you to then we can put a name on this person. Let's do it that way.
Okay, no problem. All right, so you recently you got this one guy, King Yale Brown, who was a part of the same group that I've been telling you about since last year, how these informants been going around, they've been murdering people, and they've been sweeping it all under the rug and everything. Well, now they finally came out in the open saying, hold on. This guy that we had a manhunt for, and it's all in the news, Kenyell Brown, was a federal informant. So now they exposed him. But I'm like, well, y'all still ain't got the rest of them. Because the other group, the one that's the head of this group, he's an informant as well. But he makes him look like, keep in mind now, Kenyell Brown got 6 murders. The other guy makes him look like a schoolgirl.
Mm.
I'm just going to be honest. Because he got close to 15 bodies on him.
Right, the guy Kenya Brown, the article they wrote about him, saying that he was an informant and a hitman and had killed 6 people, and they
exactly.
I am shocked that they even published that, because normally when the government do things, they don't let you know that they have an informant out here killing people. And I've been saying this for years, that they'll do anything to accomplish their goal. There's nothing in this world that they wouldn't do to accomplish their goal, and won't even be held accountable. But this guy when I read that article about him, knowing that the newspaper actually printed it, I was in total shock. I could not believe.
Oh, yeah. I was shocked that they actually printed it. I was like, oh, y'all finally telling the truth of what I've been saying all this time?
Absolutely. And that's why it's so important that you get that information out. They may not print it, during your hearing time, but the point is, they don't want the truth called. Everything you were saying with this guy, Kenya Brown, came out, is actually the truth. You see?
Yes. This is the part that's going to shock you even more. He was with the same group. This group that I'm telling you about, it's a guy, he uses females to stalk different guys. So that's how he's stalking. It's sad, like I said before, it's sad, but they are our own people that's doing this. So I'm wondering, now this is the thing. This is show you how the community even came together to the point and started providing me with information.
Mm-hmm.
Even the guy they stalked, they had it in the paper, and you can look his name up. His name is Keenan Brown. Talked about how many times these people tried to kill him, how they tried to, they them shot his house up. They shot like 90-something times, tried to kill him at a BP gas station before they actually murdered him after he took his 5-year-old son into school. He didn't even get a chance to pull off. They killed him on school grounds, elementary school grounds in Southwest Detroit. Guess what? These guys are all informants that actually pulled the trigger, to the point even the description that the chief of Detroit police have gave of the shooter, one of his own family members say, listen, man, I'm tired of what's going on, and I know you the one that got the heart to put this out here, and gave me the actual picture with the clothes that the shooter was wearing, took it off his Facebook page. It's like, here you go. Put this out here and let them know the truth, bro. And you know I got it. So
Kenya Brown guy, what they were saying about him, nobody would believe it. Nobody in their right mind would believe that this guy, they recorded 6 murders that he done. And then you're telling me that the guy that you're dealing with that committed 15 murders.
Oh, the whole crew, it's a group of them. You even get some of the females that got their hand involved in murders. Oh, yeah. And they can't say, well, give us the description. No, I actually got the case number because somebody else was arrested, but he killed himself in the county jail. Well, so they say he killed himself in the county jail.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the truth of it. He mysteriously was hung in the county jail, in the Wayne County Jail, after he was found guilty.
Mm.
He ended up dead. How that happened, I don't know. But she's still roaming the streets, and she's with the same group.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like,
wow.
How is it that y'all don't know and y'all can do fake control bias with these people to set them up?
Mm-hmm.
And now it's all starting at the fake control bias thing. Now you got the Detroit police under investigation with that. That came out in the news. When they came out with Kenya Brown situation, I say, wow, did they really decide to tell the truth after I've been telling the truth this whole time? So this is why they're trying to stop me from going to a trial. And I say, yeah, let me go to a jury trial because I want these people to hear what's really going on.
Mm-hmm.
So the sad part about that is, all these psychiatrists, I mean, I ain't never known nobody who's facing with a criminal case, he has to see a psychiatrist, a neuropsychiatrist, another psychiatrist, just because he asked for a trial. I have never seen that in my life.
They trying to dirty you up. Once they, the psych gonna come back and say, oh, he's nuts. Then, that take the validity away from what you're saying. So that's what they trying to do.
Guess where they fumbled at?
Mm-hmm.
I gotta tell you this one because this was so lovely of it. Guess where they fumbled at?
Where?
So they sent me to this other psychiatrist. He said, well, how about you sign a release so I can talk to your attorney? I said, oh, I'd love to. So I signed a release. He talked to my attorney. So now they can't say, oh, he's making that up. We didn't say that. So they talked to my attorney. They say, we hear that he's having outbursts in the courtroom and this and that. My attorney said, that never happened. And in the federal court building, everything is recorded. This man don't say nothing in the court building. He only talks to me. So I don't know where they would get that information or who would provide you with that information. Now, when the other guy realized that this doctor did that, he's like, oh, my God, I wish he would have never did that. I say, well, I'm glad he did do it, because now it shows that I've been telling the truth the whole time, and you guys are trying to stop me. So now my attorney is aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
How is it that you're going to say I had three or four different attorneys? I'm like, well, the same attorney that I retained on my own is the same attorney that I have right now going into trial.
Yeah.
How did I have three or four different attorneys? I'm lost on this.
Absolutely.
So they dirtied my name up to this doctor. He passed the word to the next doctor to dirty my name up. But the next other doctor was like, well, I'm going to call his attorney and find out the truth. And he called him back. He said he talked to the other doctor. He's like, I don't know what to do with this guy. What you mean? It's nothing wrong with him. Why is it everybody says something is wrong with this guy? There's nothing wrong with him. The guy had a very intelligent conversation with me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So now the doctor is kind to retrace his steps with me. Well, you know, I'm not trying to give you no medicine, and I ain't defaming your character or nothing. I say, well, for you to tell another doctor to put it in your notes that I was having outbursts, you said you got this from the judge.
Yeah.
He said, no. I was talking to somebody in his office. I didn't talk directly to the judge. I said, oh, so now you're retracing everything since you realize how I'm attacking.
Mm-hmm.
I said, because you defame my character. Technically, that's a lawsuit against you.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
You can't go around saying that I did something
also,
and then your other.
And also, he cannot give out that information without your permission, especially to a clerk or somebody.
Exactly.
Right.
So they realize that everything is falling apart on them, and they're trying to figure out what do we do.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's nothing wrong with it.
Grace? How do we save grace and also nail him too? But it all goes back. That's what I was telling you earlier. Get that information out to people, and you got it out to me and other people. And I tell you this much, young man. When that article came out about that Kenya Brown, that rocked their world, because that's everything you've been saying, everything. And then you
this whole time
guy with a 15, he done killed 15 people. And see, that's what's going on all over the country. They got guys out here killing folks to make people, you know, to make them look bad. But most people don't understand that, because they say, oh, these folks are wild, these folks are terrible, you know. But in reality, it's the government that's behind all this stuff. They're behind everything that's bad that's happening in this world today is by this government. And the people are so naive, lack of knowledge.
Oh, yeah. They do.
And what you have done and stood up and fought these people, I take my hat off to
them. They didn't think I was going to do that.
Right.
I told you, every plea bargain they came to me with, I shot it down. I said, no, I'm straight. I don't want it. They came to me. They say, you're facing 10 years. I said, I want a trial. They said, well, we'll give you 6 years. I said, I want a trial. They said, well, how about we give you 3 years, 36 months? I said, I want a trial. And the last one they came to me with, they said, okay, 27 months to 33 months. I said, I still don't want it. I want a trial.
Mm-hmm.
Then they say, oh, he need to see a psych. I said, wow. I didn't expect that one.
Absolutely. You said the magic word. You didn't expect that one. I wouldn't have saw that one coming either. But, you know.
I'm telling you, I did not fight a psych.
Wow. Amazing grace. Well, I tell you,
the guy.
They had in the newspaper about that Kenya Brown. I know that that rocked their world. They are not believing that you know what people are saying. People have been saying this for years. I remember the time when they used to take you up to I think it's the 11th floor in Detroit, and they sit you down. If you're a drug dealer, what they do, they put dead bodies, pictures of dead bodies in front of you, not the actual dead body. Well, a picture of a dead body, it all depends, sometimes one, sometimes two, sometimes three. And they will give you dead bodies, you know, if you don't do what they say. Then they go to court, they have an informant to testify against you to say that you they actually saw you pull the trigger. And that's what's going on.
Exactly.
Yeah. But the point is, people never believe that, though.
Oh, this is the part that's going to really shock you. You ready for this?
Mm.
These murders goes all the way back to the 90s.
Yeah, I know. Absolutely.
And here it is. We're in the 2000s. I'm talking about bodies where two and three people was murdered at a time. Mm. And they can't say, well, we didn't know this guy was violent. Well, how is it that I'm able to pull up this guy's criminal history and it's showing that he was carrying guns, he done shot people and beat people with guns and all that? You can't say you didn't know he was violent because it's already on his record and I got a copy of it. See, they didn't expect me to do all that type of investigation on my own.
No, they did not. Neither. Well, we have just ran out of time. And I know that you have a lot to tell, but I know you have something good for me next week because I got to have you on after that Kenyon Brown story. I mean,
that's going to shock you even more.
Mm.
And I'm going to mail it to you before we come on.
Tell it to me next week. I want you to tell it to me while you send it in the mail and everything. Mail it to me, and then we'll talk about it next week because people need to know these things. These people are not who they think you are. Law enforcement is a fraud. They don't care nothing about you, and they don't care nothing about me. They don't care. See, the only thing they do, and here's the thing that they count on more than anything else, to get you in front of one of their juries and find you guilty, even though there's no evidence to support it. This is what they do. But I tell you one thing, you people out there, all my listeners, put in there Kenya Brown. I think you spell it K-E-N. Is it
Y-E-L?
Y-E-L
Brown.
Y-E-L Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And just key that name in there. They'll tell you about all the murders. He was working for the police department. He's been working for the police department for years. And he's not the only one. It's a gang of them. It's a gang of them.
Oh, yeah.
And they're not just here in Michigan. They're in Illinois and Chicago. They're in Atlanta City. They're all over the country. They're paying people to go out here and kill people, and they get away with it until they get tired of it. So those of all my listeners, I love you all. Thank you so much for listening. But it's just not enough time to tell it all. We can't tell it all, but we're going to tell it as much as we can. Thank you so much for listening. Next week, same time, same station. Talk to you soon.